gonna have myself a real good time. I feel alive. And the world.
Welcome to this is the Random Crap Podcast versus Fanfiction. I'm your host Lee Santa, aka Wild Wild Ranger, and today I am joined by, in my house, in my hometown, after just eating a very nice McDonald's,
Matty, also known as the Random Crap Ranger. I'm back!
And after what he had, two double cheeseburgers and McFlurry, and after what I had, a double cheeseburger and a McChicken sandwich meal.
You faggot.
I'm hungry, I'm gonna have breakfast.
Neither have I!
How's mine any different from yours? You had three items, I had three items. Well, I technically had four because I had a drink, but you know what I mean.
Exactly.
Yeah, but that doesn't count, though. And why am I talking like this like an American news announcer? I do not know.
Because you're an idiot and you've been watching Fox News clips to amuse yourself.
They are quite funny. I'm Glenn Beck! I hate everyone! Love me!
Not Fox News. Phone news. I have to get that right. Phone news. Because it's not even freaking news. Because apparently on Fox News, I think it was them, apparently Santa's a leftist! AKA a Democrat.
To be fair, Private Eye had this brilliant cover for the latest issue. They're just making a joke. It's basically like, you see Santa flying, and you have these people going, wait, he operates outside the UK!
Yes, should be paying tax.
No, he operates outside the UK. Yeah, he comes here once a year! He has an offshore company! That bastard! And he doesn't pay tax! Something like that. If I could find out, I'll make the episode out, but somehow I doubt this episode will be out in time for Christmas.
No.
But anyway, we're recording this, folks, for our bloody James, because...
Stuff's happened.
Well, yeah, stuff's happened, and...
Hello, annoying clock.
I missed you, annoying clock.
Oh, I didn't.
And basically, this is sort of like his Christmas present. The only difference is, we're not going to spend nearly half the year recording two flashback chapters.
Sorry.
Anywho, but yes, we are back with Code
of the Living Dead.
Yeah, Code of the Living Dead. Of the Living Dead. Not Code of the Living, not Code of the Dead. Oh, no, wait. Was it Code of the Dead or Code? No. Code of the Dead. Code of the Living Dead, not Code of the Dead, that really weird fluff fanfic James found and we started ripping.
Oh, okay, I didn't know you found that one.
Oh, fucking hilarious. One chapter they're in the school cafeteria and you, me and Alita make waffles. With one with the eye printed, with the, Iron Xanaron. Ho, ho, ho!
Punch in the face.
Keep in mind they just slaughtered a shitload of people as well, but you know.
Waffles! Okay! Not reading this fic! Enough! Cease and desist, or I hurt
I've already read it with James.
The first three
chapters have already been posted on the podcast.
I'm behind on the podcast.
It's a fun one, it's me and James just ripping it apart. Because you mean it's like a total wuss in it. Like
this is so out of
Jeremy overpowers Yumi and holds her down so she didn't see the bloody corpses of her parents.
Bullshit.
Yeah. Apparently Jeremy...
Jeremy would struggle to lift one of her boots off the ground.
Apparently Jeremy hit puberty, right, in his fanfic, so he suddenly developed muscles and a six-pack and that. So he's like...
I know.
Let it out.
I think I let most of it out during my Three Musketeers rant. How could you fuck that case up? Biggest pile of bullshit ever!
Anywho, so...
Okay, I'm not completely done on that. Expect many Tourette's episodes on that one.
Anywho, folks. Well, it could be worse.
It could. You say the Zed word, I hurt you.
How did you know I was going to do that? How did you know? Hey, I didn't say it, so you can't hurt me.
I know. I'm just preparing for it.
Well, so in case I don't get like a New Year's set out of the way as well, I just want to quickly remind our folks, yes, I know Code Lyoko Evolution is coming out soon. We will be reviewing it. I really badly want James on that one. So James, if you listen, mate, let us know for times. So I really want you on for that episode.
I honestly think I need to watch an episode of it.
I've also been asking around. I'm trying to get aim codes for the English dub of Rio Kendo. No such luck so far, but if we can't find it, then we'll probably just review the sub instead. But I would like to get the English dub aim codes. No news on the Fusion Battle, though I did find out that one on YouTube from Disney XD Malaysia is not the William Winkle one. It's apparently won by them. Because they also done their own dubs for stuff like Hero Man, and I think they're the ones that did the Vanguard dub, which is currently on YouTube for free.
That Card Fighter Vanguard.
Was apparently, like, I think it was either the Philippines or Malaysia, English
dub. I've not bothered watching
by Animax, their company, like the Malaysia dub company. Yeah. They do a lot of stuff for streaming sites, apparently.
Right, anyway.
But they keep all the background music as well and the theme tune. But else? So we've got Konyoke Evolution, New Kingdom English dub. I'm trying to find the Fusion Battles dub, that one. I have got encodes for the Gundam A's Philippines English dub. We will be talking about that at some point.
I didn't know you had that.
Told you.
When?
Ages ago.
I forget.
We're hoping to talk about Wizards vs. Aliens. I'm not 9% sure that's on YouTube. That's new CBBC show.
What was it? What vs. Aliens?
Wizards vs. Aliens.
You say it's on CBBC. In my head, I just got Harry Potter versus the Xenomorphs.
Sort of like that.
No, in fact, Harry Potter versus the Xenomorphs would be more interesting, because there will be more blood.
Well, this is for Russell T. Davis. This is their Sarah Jane Adventures replacement, because, you know,
Lucius
Sladen passed away. Mm. Though I do really want to review an episode of Sarah Jane on the podcast at some point.
Mm.
Possibly the final ep, but it's a bit of a tearjerker.
Yeah.
They had to, like, totally they had to put on an ending. Well, they managed to film three eps before she sadly passed away.
Ow.
And if that was the intended final episode, originally, then it looks like we probably would have got a Series 6.
Damn.
But anywho, so, yeah, sorry, we're back with Code of the Living Dead. That's just a quick update for you folks.
That was quick.
What to expect from this year of the Random Crap Podcast, the main show. But on the review, but on the podcast site, it's, on the fanfiction podcast itself, we have plenty of fanfics to come. We've got
most of them we've yet to even find.
More of that fluff sit. James wants to do more of that Jimmy Neutron zombie one. The Hey Arnold zombie one's updated. And there's a ton of Power Rangers I want to review. Read MST on here. Including Galaxy Storm, Seven Blades, or... They're good. And let's be honest, there's plenty of fanfics out there. Heck, I found a pretty decent Ultraman one. Probably get that out of the way soon, hopefully, maybe, one day, I don't know.
That knows.
Anywho, we have Chapter 12, Scenario 11 of Code of the Living Dead!
Scenario 11, Cardio. I've missed doing that voice for this.
Yes. Chris awoke in the daze. His head felt as if it had been split in half, and he could feel you need, And he could feel blood oozing out of a wound in his forehead. Well, he hoped it was blood. He groaned and blinked his eyes.
It was ketchup. Hey, fuck, someone lost their lunch. Food for me.
Wait, this ain't blood. It's clear and stick. Oh, my God! Quickly goes on the 4chan. Whoa! I fell asleep when someone stuck that knob in my mouth. No! He groaned and blinked his eyes. Trying to bring a blurry world into focus.
No way, he muttered as his vision cleared.
He was hanging upside down, his seatbelt in the G-I-G-N armored van had held fast and somehow the vehicle had rolled over onto its back. Okay, now I've got the mental image, he's upside down with an iPhone going, someone stuck that knob in my mouth! No! Oh God, delete! Damn you, 4chan, it's now there or I'm there forever!
Paragraph as well, if you don't mind.
You want me to read it, or do you want
I'll
me?
I'll do it.
Oh, well, wait, sorry.
Oh, shit, he groaned. Across from him, hanging limply from his seat, was a
was a GRGN officer. His neck bent at an unusual angle. Yeah, he's not making noise, he's dead. Chris cursed under his breath and began fumbling with his seatbelt. It came undone with a soft click and he fell to the ground, banging his head on the hard metal roof.
Oh, God damn it!
He gasped in pain, rolled over onto his back. He tilted his head back and saw the doors of the van were hanging open. Outside, the sky was the dark and he could feel a cold breeze blowing in. Laying on the ground was a road flare, its harsh red light shining brightly in the darkness. Though his vision was blurry, he could just make out the form of a GRGN captain pacing back and forth while talking into a radio in rapid French. Sitting on the ground with his back against the door frame was another officer. His arm was bleeding and Chris could just make out a bit of bone sticking out from under the officer's shirt.
La van toppled over. La van. Balkan.
Shit, in French.
La, we are in danger.
Shit is in French.
Shit, he's talking in French. I can't understand what he's saying. La zombies everywhere.
I heard zombies.
Alright. Oh god, I want him to try and talk to him. He's like, guys, it's me. And they're just looking confused. Like, you're my sway, la friend,
dude.
Papa, Nicole! They just give him a thumbs up, yeah, they go, Nicole!
Slap. Just breathe.
Mad. Oh, excuse me, hang on. Mad, the officer muttered through clenched teeth as he fumbled with a bloody cloth, trying to keep the wound from bleeding. La bleeding! La bone seeking out!
The captain yelled, throwing the radio to the ground. Le tombe de jouer avec le signal!
Quoi, alas, nos flares molitos? The wound officer asked the captain.
Je ne sais pas! The captain spat angrily.
It's gotta go, said the wounded officer. Je ne sais pas.
I've just done that. Oh. He sighed.
Oh. He sighed and looked over at the right towards the city.
Je ne sais pas.
Mm.
Exactly. That's what it means. I don't know.
Oh, right. I didn't know. Wait, you speak French?
I did it up to GCSE.
Ooh, right. So what would they just say then?
Yeah, I don't know. Time and day with the signal. Is it not working? What do we do now? I don't know. I think.
Suddenly! A loud, monstrous roar filled...
Tank! Could you imagine if they had the Left 4 Dead zombies?
I knew you should mention that.
Seriously?
Have you not read this chapter?
No, I haven't for a while.
Alright. The GRGN officers jumped and fumbled for their weapons. The officer raised his rifle and flipped the safety off. I like to imagine you're the wounded one's like, oh shit, I can't grasp it. This sketch of me trying to grasp my gun and constantly dropping it. It's going on for far too long. Sorry, I mean, like gun sketch ain't going on like too long.
Olivia! Melt! The injured officer cried as he fumbled for his sidearm.
Get away from me! Get Michael Barrymore away from me! Sorry. Lad Michael Barrymore! Lad Danger! Lad Swimming Pool!
Read, shithead.
Oh god, if that's not proof, if someone complains, that's proof they're listening.
Yeah.
The ground began to shake like an earthquake. The captain screamed, "Ah!" No, sorry, "La ah!" and opened fire with his automatic rifle at something that Chris could not see. There was a blur of red movement as something slammed into the captain and sent him flying
right,
through the air.
My mistake. Charger!
Sent him flying through the air.
Crash!
Blimey, look how far he went.
He can fly! No, he can't!
No, wait. La! I can fly! The captain screamed as he fell, and there was a crunch and then silence. La dead! La! The second officer screamed as the lumbering terror approached him. He finally got his pistol out of his holster and managed to fire off two shots before the thing picked him up.
Sorry, sounds like a tank. Sorry, I'm
and saying. Lift him high over his head. The officer screamed and kicked. La! Ah! La! Ah! La! Scream!
La! La! La shit!
La bugger!
Mad!
Dead! La not cool! La...
Read, bitch!
kicked, screamed and kicked as the monster tore him in half. The officer's scarlet blood poured over the monster's body like a rainstorm. La, ah! La, my dick! Ah! 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 I wanted to rub one out before dying!
No.
The thing dropped the two pieces of cop and roared into the sky. It then cast its eyes down on the van where Chris was laying and watched in horror. Please don't see me.
Please don't see me. Please don't see me!
Chris blinked furiously, trying to clear his vision, and he felt around the ground looking for anything he could use as a weapon. He closed his fingers around what felt like a police baton. He turned around, expecting to see a large hand reaching out to take him, but there was nothing. The hulking horror had vanished, leaving him alone in the darkness and silence. He sat there for several minutes, unsure what to do next. Where the fuck? How did I not fucking hear it walk away?
It's a tank. Those things are fucking ninjas when they want to be. It's like, there'll be times in the game, you will go around the corner, all of a sudden, tank to face.
Alright.
I mean, fuck it, he thought bitterly. If I'm gonna die, sure, shit ain't gonna be in here.
Not until, we'll run out.
Science!
He carefully crawled out the back of the van, taking care to avoid the small shades of glass that littered the ground. Shards of glass that littered the ground like confetti. He made it outside and stood up, grimacing as his back popped in several places. Oh god, this is worse than the time my ex tied me up and spanked me! He looked around, trying to get an idea of where they had crashed.
How the hell did we crash? He thought. What happened?
I don't know. Zombie apocalypse?
Oh, man.
Tank puppy came out of nowhere, as he said they are fucking ninjas.
Yeah. And it's not in the, because in real life, you don't get tank music to warn you. There's just tank bang, dead.
He closed his eyes, trying to think back. He had escaped Alexander.
We'd be fucked in a zombie apocalypse if there were tanks.
With many of the survivors, and then the blockade got overrun by those things, and he cut and ran. He met a squad of GRGN officers. They took him in, and one of them spoke a little English.
Carrick, Chris said to himself. He said Carrick. Tina.
Now, I wonder if that one officer spoke English like the English spy who plays Spencer Klopp in the Hello.
Possibly.
Good morning. Harry, you to booger? It's today. Oh, merci beaucoup. Hang on. Sorry, folks, it's very cold here. I've had to leave the back open for the dog so she doesn't crap all over the floor again. Yeah, it's fun to clean up. He heard a pathetic wheezing sound and saw the road...
Fizzing
sound and saw the road flare was beginning to die. He looked around and staggered over to an olive-green duffel bag he spotted laying on the ground a few feet away. It was the bag he had hastily packed before he left the fort. He knelt down next to the bag and saw it was open. A box of mercy flares had been torn in two and one was missing.
I could have asked, Chris muttered as he pulled out another flare and ignited it.
Yes, you could have asked me during the zombie apocalypse could you have an emergency rescue flare. Sorry, dog's waking up. Just on cue. He began looking through the contents of his bag, holding the flare high above his head for light. He pulled back a blue bandana. And he tied it around his head to keep his
long hair.
Around his head to keep his long blonde hair out of his eyes.
Reading ahead.
And to keep pressure on his head wound. Oh god. Rebel. Nah. He then rummaged a little more and pulled out a Glock 30 with an olive drab finish. It was Darren's gun. Darren's father kept it in the barracks in a locked box. Christopher found his way into barracks and made quick work of the lock, figuring he would need the firepower. He pulled out an extra magazine, slipped it into his pocket. He walked over to the corpse of the first officer and knelt down next to him.
Sorry about this, Chris said.
He aimed at the officer's forehead and pulled the trigger. The bullet blasted open the officer's head like an egg. He took the pistol away and began to search the wet remains of the officer's corpse. He unclipped the radio from the officer's vest and hoped it still worked. He fiddled with a dial and pressed the call button.
Hello? He said quietly.
Is anybody out there?
Hello? The radio crackled. Is anybody out there?
The radio was laying on the coffee table in the teacher's lounge. Jeremy dove at it and pressed the call button.
Yes! He screamed. Yes! Who is this?
Oh, fuck. Tina nudged a sleeping Dara in the ribs and his eyes opened, his hand fluttering to his handgun in his lap in alarm. She shook her head and nudged a thumb over to where Jeremy was sitting. Everyone else crowded around Jeremy as he spoke into the radio.
Can't wake up and also sort a few rounds. Ah, stay away from my stuff!
Wait, this isn't my apartment. Oh, fuck yeah, zombies.
Feels like it's been nearly a year since we got into this mess. Ha, guys! Ha, do you get it? Ha! Ha! Fuck. Who is this? Jeremy asked.
My name's Chris.
Redfield.
Shut up. I'm a survivor from Fort Alexander. Who is the...
Tina jerked the radio from Jeremy's hand. Oh, you fucking bitch!
Chris? Chris, is that really you? No, it's a fucking witch.
I'm Chris Redfield. You're not my sister. Sorry, James. Tina, you're safe, Chris breathed a sigh of relief. I was really sick about you.
I thought you were dead, Tina cried.
I'm okay. In the zombie apocalypse, I'm standing in the middle of nowhere.
But I'm alive!
After I witnessed the man being ripped up by a tank.
Yeah, because you're going to fucking tell her that.
I'm alright, I'm okay, in the middle of the zombie apocalypse, I'm alive, in the middle of a zombie apocalypse, Chris said. Where are you? Are you safe?
I'm at Caddick, Darren's here along with several of my classmates, Tina explained. The fuck are you?
Darren, you still owe me 20. Fuck! Chris looked around, though it was too dark to see anything. Many street lights were out, and the flare wasn't much for light. Give me a sec! This walks around, there's a giant sign saying, you know, there's a giant you are here type sign,
yeah.
And it's like behind him, covered in blood, and he's like, oh, I have no idea where I am! And next to that, it's like a pile of maps, he's like, I still don't know where I am!
He walks around the immediate area looking for any street signs to tell him where he was. He inspected the remains of the GIGN captain and saw he'd been hurled into a tall iron fence. His body had slammed into a wooden sign with enough force to splinter it, but Chris could still make out the two words smeared through the smear of blood.
Hang on. Oh, God, so much blood. Hang on, let's get this all off. Ah! Let's clean up the sign. Last little spit polish. There we go. Cadet Academy, he read aloud.
Repeat that, Chris. Darren's voice came from the radio Chris held in his hand. We didn't catch that.
Cadet Academy, you dumb bastards! You guys are at Cadet?
Yeah?
Well, I think those GIGN boys brought me to your front door. Chris said, nudging the captain's body with his foot.
You're outside? Tina asked.
Yeah, unfortunately, Chris said, looking around the darkness.
Chris, are there any weapons or supplies laying around? Darren asked.
Ah, one sec! Honestly, God, some fucking day, dude, your buttons on the thing. Oh, son of a bitch! He pocketed the radio and began looking through the bodies of the officers. The FAMAS that the captain was using had been ruined when the large thing had slammed into him, and Chris sighed as he tossed it away. He rummaged around, tossed anything of use into his duffel bag.
I'm back, he said into the radio. There's two handguns and some loose ammo, but that's it. These guys were running dry after the blockade got overrun.
What? Jeremy asked. Overrun? When?
We'll talk about that later. Right now, we need to get you off the street, Ulrich said.
No shit, Chris said. What's the plan? You gonna rescue me in your fucking helicopter? I mean, can I just walk in?
No, courtyard's full of keeps, Jeremy said. Excuse me.
Jeremy looks at her and just say, "Fuck you, bitch!" You start your way to center and we'll meet you in the middle. Be ready for a fight, Darren said.
Got it, Chris said, clicking safety off the Glock. And Darren, be careful. There's something big out here.
Noted, Darren said.
over and out.
I love...
Punch. He handed the radio to Jeremy and checked the magazine of his M9.
Hang on, scroll down.
We gotta hurry,
Tina said.
Those things won't wait long before...
You stay here, Darren said. I'll go meet him. It's too dangerous for you.
I want to hug my lover again.
Bullshit, Tina snapped. If it wasn't for me, you'd be zombie food right now.
I'm aware. And if I had my way, you wouldn't have gone then. There's no point in having an entire classroom running around down there making noise and drawing more attention to ourselves than needed. Can I do odds? I don't think you need to worry about the whole class going. Odd said.
Ha! I'm a coward! Ha! I've already eaten, I already got my sweets! I don't give a shit about your Buddha! Ha!
And there's no point in you going down like you're John fucking Rambo, and both you are getting your dumb asses killed!
Gina argued.
She's right, Oryx said. It's too dangerous to go alone. Besides, you have to save one of our friends. We're going to return the favor.
But you're right, Jeremy said. We need to keep the people on this rescue mission to a minimum. Those things just quieten down. No need to provoke them again. I mean, we could stand here and talk for hours on end while your brother's being ripped apart. I'm just saying.
I'll go, Oryx said.
You can count me in, Terry said.
Me too, Odd said, hopping off the couch.
And then biting into a sweet cake sandwich. Oh, God!
Heart attack!
Hang on. Fucking laptop. Sam and I will watch the entrance, William said.
So that makes 5, Tina said, crossing her arms and looking at Darren.
Fine, he muttered, rolling his eyes. Ah, I don't give a shit. Let's move. You can all fucking die for all I care. I just want to best friend.
Wait, Darren, what did you just say?
Best friend! No homo!
Good, Tina said as they started out of the room.
I don't care.
You're always trying to fight me, but you know that I...
Click!
Tina stood gaping at Darren, who secured one of the links of a pair of handcuffs on her left hand and the other on the hand of the refrigerator.
Oh, you a dick! Tina growled.
I'm aware, Darren said, tossing the key to her. Don't let her out!
Herb just looks at the key, looks at her and goes, raising his eyebrows. That's what she says. Oh, my God! Darren! No, she starts on to her and... Oh, God, I don't want to... No, don't let her leave me, baby. Ignoring the barrage of colourful curse words, they left the teacher's lounge.
That wasn't very nice.
Wagga!
That was very nice, Oxford. I mean, it's her brother, you know. She should be there to help him.
Fucking wagga!
She'll get over it, Darren said. We're going to do this quietly. Don't pull the guns unless we have to.
Fine by me, Terry said, placing the sword on his shoulder, trying not to cut his own arm off again.
We're in our staples, Terry, just saying. They went down to the first floor. They quietly eliminated a few zombies, managing to remain silent, like ninjas, and avoided drawing attention to the few stragglers further down the hall.
Okay, on three, Darren said as he and Oryx took positions in front of the doors.
Three! He said.
They pushed open the doors and Odd and Terry ran outside. Terry thrust his sword out and impaled a zombie in the eye socket. He withdrew and kicked the body away as Odd bashed a zombie in their forehead with his frying pan.
Bang!
Frying pan of doom! Ulrich cracked another zombie in... Excuse me. Cracked another zombie in the skull with his bat and sidestepped a blow from a sprinter. He stuck out his foot and tripped it, letting Darren stab it in the chest with his knife. It growled, trying to work up the energy to let out a scream to alert his undead brothers and sisters. Its red infected eyes glowed in rage and then glazed over. Darren let the zombie drop to the ground and he curb stomped it with his boot, preventing it from getting back up.
Keep moving, he said.
Ulrich nodded as they took off, running towards the centre of the courtyard.
Chris ran through the dark forest path towards the school grounds. In one hand he clenched a burning flare, in the other a police baton.
Shit, he thought. This place is creepy.
It's like something out of a video game. I really wish I hadn't played all that Left 4 Dead before the zombie apocalypse.
On the upside, you have experience in what to do.
Yes, but on the upside, just putting bandages on everything won't help you like in Left 4 Dead.
No. But a guy can dream.
He felt a few raindrops on his bare arms, and he ran and shuddered in the cold night air. Around him, he heard the crunching of leaves and twigs. He could see the dark outlines of shapes moving in the darkness, praying to God they weren't people cottaging. He could hear the moans of those things coming from the wind, as if the darkness itself was coming for him. Again, hoping they weren't been some weirdos cottaging in the forest. To strip the flesh from his bones and devour him whole.
You saw...
He saw a figure lurching in front of him, and he slid to a halt, his large form slamming into it and knocking it to the ground. The thing moaned and tried to stand back up. It looked at Chris with its glazed eyes. And let out a mouthful groan. It began to back away, as if in fear. Chris started to strike it with a baton, but his eyes flicked to the ground, back to the zombie before him.
What's wrong? He asked with a smirk. Afraid of fire, you freak? Huh?
Huh?
Huh? That's enough, donkey.
You know what would make me laugh? If that was like a zombie version of Herb. Because I could fucking believe a zombie Herb would be so pathetic. He'd be like,
Warhammer.
Sissy is Percy.
Ugh.
Oh god. Sissy hit
silence. No. Kill that there.
She's like, oh kill my that. God.
Kill it there. Read.
He kicked the zombie in the throat and continued on his way, grateful that he still had several of the flares in his bag. Up ahead, he saw the tree line end and the courtyard of Caddick begin. He stepped out onto the cobblestone ground and saw a dozen of shambling horrors lurching around. He could see the outlines of skeletal remains of the ground, a few of which were still moving. A lone shambler staggered towards him, moaning loudly. Shit! I'm not paid enough for your zombie extra, I hate my job! He moaned. He lashed out with the baton and caved in its skull. He kicked the zombies away from him and sent it flying into the shadows. The second one had stumbled towards him, lost several teeth and got its kneecap shattered with a well-placed kick. Chris saw a figure leap over a pile of feeding zombies and sprint towards him. Chris knew what would happen if it let out a shriek. He grabbed and ran towards the sprinter, tackling it to the ground and shoving his baton into its mouth. Like a big, giant, black cock of death. You're sick on it, you zombie bastard! Hey! Ignored angrily on the words, its sharp jagged teeth leaving cruel-looking bite marks on the word.
Shut up and read.
He grabbed it by the hair and rasped its skull into the pavement 3 times before it stopped moving. Chris stood up and gasped for breath. Up ahead, he could see more of those things coming his way.
Bring it on, bitches, he muttered under his breath. Plenty to go around.
Terry delivered a vertical slash down the zombie's chest and roundhouse kicked it into a waste bin.
Yeah.
It knocked the bin over and rolled away, tipping another zombie in the process. Double points! Terry darted forward and jumped trip zombie skull, impaling the first zombie in the forehead with his blade as he landed. Yurik jabbed the zombie in the stomach with the tip of his bat and crushed its head with a mighty upward swing. He whirled the bat around and high kicked the second zombie in the chin, scattering the lower half of its rotted skull.
Don't let the first ones alert the others, he called out as loud as he dared. If they bring the horde down on us, we're done for. Yeah, whatever you do, don't alert the horde, I said with a slight grin as he smashed a zombie in the face.
I get it, Teddy called over his shoulder. I get it, Left 4 Dead reference, I fucking get it, Art!
Keep moving, Darren said as he pulling his knife out of the zombie's gut.
He let the corpse fall to the ground and the group continued running.
Chris struck another flare and held it before him, keeping many of the zombies at bay. He struck down the few soldiers brave enough to come near him with his baton and continued through the courtyard. Ahead of him he could see a fountain where many of the undead had gathered to find scraps. Further ahead, he could hear what sounded like fighting.
Getting close, he thought.
Sam and William stood by the open doors to the science building. Read.
I'm just, like, giving the person that is chilling, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Think they can make it, William asked.
I know they can, Sam said.
Spotted assembler straggling towards the door, so he quickly strung an arrow and let it fly, catching the zombie just above the temple.
Nice shot, William said.
Out of the corner of his eye, he saw blurred movement in the trees.
Did you see that? He asked, quickly shouldering the shotgun.
What? Oh, sorry.
What?
Sam asked, pulling another arrow.
Something in the woods, William said. Stay here.
Are you crazy? You can't go alone, Sam hissed.
I'll be fine, I'm just going to look. Wait here for the others, William said.
Ignoring her, he jogged...
He's dead.
He jogged into the forest and out of Sam's line of sight. She cursed and glanced around worriedly. She shut the door to the science bin and followed William into the forest.
Chris saw movement ahead of him. There were three or four shapes moving in the shadows. Not spastic and animated like the monsters he had been slaying, but careful and precise. Sentient.
Oh! Better let them know what's up, he said.
He jumped into the fountain and into the water. He climbed up the fountain and shoved a flare into the open hand of the philosopher that stood on the stone platform. He lit it and dropped down into the water with a splash. In the dim red light, he could see dozens of rotting faces illuminated in the darkness.
Oh, crap.
Darren wrenched the knife free from the eye socket of an infected, and he saw the blade had broken in half. Ahead of him, he saw a red light coming from the top of the fountain. Beneath it, he could make out Chris's tall form.
Over there, Darren called.
He rammed the knife into a zombie's neck and let it drop. He drew his handgun and they all broke into a run towards the fountain. Auric and Og bashed down whatever stood in their way and they all leapt into the water of the fountain, forming a circle with their backs to each other.
About fucking time, Chris said to Darren over his shoulder.
So what do we do now? Terry asked.
They were all surrounded on all ends, dozens of corpses waiting in morbid anticipation. The flare did anything keeping them at bay, but the flare wouldn't hold out forever. Yurik drew his revolver and pulled back the hammer.
Light them up! Auric shouted.
Form a circle! No one gets inside!
And this is where Sam and Will die.
Hold on. Sam and William stopped in their tracks.
Gunshots? Sam said. Maybe we should head back.
Just a bit further, William said. Just let me get the tip in. What? Oh, James will find that funny.
Yeah, yeah.
He always makes that joke.
Behind them, they heard the snapping of the limb.
There, William said, racing in the shotgun.
There's no movement. There was more movement. Something was coming towards them. Will blasted both barrels into the trees, making Sam jump.
Jesus, she snapped. What the fuck?
I think I got something, William said.
I think. In other words, I could have wasted two shotgun cells.
And I'm about to be
on a survivor!
What an idiot.
No, Principal Delos comes out and he's like, William! What the fuck? Oh, fuck that.
When you're done picking at your shirt.
I forgot, I'm hoping that's letters and not the actual pattern. I don't know what I'm doing.
It's a bit of food, man.
I know, I hate that. Just a bit further, blah, 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 blah. That was me, blah, blah. Jeez, what?
He broke open
the shotgun and loaded two cells into the barrel. Suddenly, there was a loud, low growling. Grrr, arg. Something big stepped towards them, and it bared its last teeth.
Oh, no, William cried.
Run!
Sam yelled.
Blam, blam, blam. Blam, 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 blam. Chris fired three rounds from the Glock into a crowd of the undead. He pistol whipped a sprinter in the face and knocked it away from
him.
Auric fired two rounds from his own revolver, dropping two shamblers in their tracks.
I'm almost out, he called.
Same here, Darren yelled back.
I got... Chris paused to blow a hole in a sprinter's skirt.
I got ammo in the bag... Oh, sorry, that's still...
I got ammo in the bag!
Shit! Darren said through gritted teeth. So where can we go? We won't make it to the classrooms.
Hang on.
It's a storage shed! To the left! Odd said.
Let's go! You excited as he put on his back cowl. Da da.
Oh. Oh, this is the way team, a voice called through the radio.
Jeremy picked up the radio and pressed the call button.
Go ahead, Darren, he said.
We've rendezvous with school face and we're falling back to a storage shed.
As the sound of the gunfire came from the radio, Jeremy looked up at Tina and mouthed the words, Skullface?
And thought she misheard and thought he said Skullfuck. At which point she said, what? Skullfuck? Ew! Looks at me, you're sagging him? Ew! And he went, no, I said Skullface, not Skullfuck! Jesus, Tina, what's wrong with you? Chris, Tina whispered.
Right, Jeremy said. Keep safe, we'll think of something.
Yorick lowered a crossbar over the door to the shed. He turned around and saw Darren and Chris each light a cigarette. Darren turned on the flashlight and it signed it around the shed. It was about the size of a classroom, if not a little bit bigger. It was once the home of a groundskeeper before he passed away, and it was turned into a garden shed in his honour, quotation marks. It smelled of gasoline and dirt and house tools, crates and the old riding lawnmower and blue tar.
Clear, Darren said, letting out a long sigh.
Chris placed his bag
on a crate,
and zipped it and began rummaging through its contents.
43-57, he said, taking it and tossing a clip to Ori. Just take the rounds out of the clip.
He tossed an extra pistol at Odd and a fresh magazine to Darren.
Clatter. Fuck! Darren said, there's something in here.
There was the sound of four guns cocking. Darren and Chris signed their lights over the corner of the set. Yurik ran a tongue over his lips, his fingers shaking, almost touching the trigger.
Oh, wait! A voice cried, please don't shoot us!
BAM! Darren! What? They said don't shoot. That's what zombie would say.
Zombies don't speak, dumbass.
We don't know that.
We've seen enough of them.
I've seen Eternal Living Dead. I'm not taking my chances, goddammit.
You're an idiot.
You saw that one go, son, more paramedics.
Yeah, none of these zombies are that smart.
We don't know that.
You're an idiot.
What the fuck? Chris asked.
Two small, timid figures stepped out of the darkness. They looked hungry and scared, but Millie and Tamia were alive.
Millie, Tamia! Yurik exclaimed, his gun hand dropping quickly.
Ulrich! They cried as they ran towards him and embraced him.
Batman!
It's okay, he said. You see? What are you doing in here? He asked.
It was Millie's idea, Tamia exclaimed.
Oh, don't get blamed for me!
Millie cried.
I didn't hear you protest or anything until those monsters showed up!
What are you talking about? Ulrich asked.
We heard about the riots going on downtown, Millie said. Tamia wakes up earlier than Avis and she read about it online.
We thought we could get a big scoop, get some footage, sell it to a news channel, and get some money for a new camera for the newspaper.
Well, it's a good thing you did, Yorick said.
What do you mean? Millie asked.
They
routed us up in the cafeteria, I'd explain. They were trying to keep us safe. Not long after that, we got overrun.
By what? What are those monsters out there?
Tamia asked.
What are those things that look in dead and eating people?
Zombies. Oryx said, feeling like he was getting used to saying that at last.
Millie and Tamia let out shrieks of terror.
Hey, it's okay. Jeremy and the others are back in the science building. We'll get to them.
Yorick felt something... what's that? Sign inside of him? Look, a light bulb came online.
Light bulb! Tell him, fodder! Send them! Feed them to the zombies and don't distract them long enough for us to get to safety.
Light bulb appears, he's like, now where's the B button? Context sensitivity.
I see. Context sensitive.
Whang! You know, felt something sign inside of him. He felt something like hope grow inside of his heart. Millie and Tamia alive. Before he had already counted them amongst the dead, he wondered if he had sort of battered them down without realising it. But they had survived. Of all the people, two timid little schoolgirls had survived. There was hope.
Not much more survival, but can I see the radio? Ulrich asked Darren.
Darren tossed you at the radio. He pressed the call button and held it to his mouth.
Jeremy, it's Ulrich. We're holed up in the storage shed.
What's that, Ulrich?
Jeremy replied.
Fuck!
Are you pinned down?
Yeah, Ulrich said, looking out the window. You could say that.
And please stop fucking singing.
Yeah. Just how many students are at this school?
Oh, yes.
You think we'd have wiped them all out by now?
That's a good point. You think?
Yeah.
How many automatons outside public?
Automatons. Automatons.
How many the automatons outside probably came from the city? The gate doesn't encompass all of Caddick, after all.
Jeremy pointed out.
The what? Ulrich asked.
Zombies, Jeremy said. Oh. You laymans.
Oh.
We'll send you some reinforcements, Jeremy said. Yumi, Thomas and Desmond are mobilising now.
Great.
The way he says mobilising, yeah. I've got this mental image that like, it's like that scene from the G.I. Joe film. Where they
not seen it.
The first live action G.I. Joe.
Oh, I've not got around to seeing it. Oh. Rise of Cobra.
Yeah, it's a good film. When he says mobilising, I just got like this, that or the Thunderbirds thing where it's dun 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 dun
dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun
dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun
dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun
Ulrich tossed the radio back to Darren.
Some of the others are on their way, but I don't think they can take all those things by themselves.
Hey guys, Chris called.
They turned to look at him and saw he was standing in front of an open tool cabinet. He turned to face them. He took a drag from his cigarette and through a breath of smoke said,
"We should work."
A zombie brushed against the wooden door to the shed. It groaned and walked into the door. The stupid things oblivious to the obstacles in its path. Suddenly, a splintering sound came from behind the door. Then another. Then a loud whirring sound. The zombie placed its head against the door and grunted. There was a splintering wood as a chainsaw blade pierced through the door and into the zombie's face. The blade moved down and nearly sawed the zombie in half. The door exploded and someone on the door saw it, kicked it down and knocked several zombies away. In the doorway stood Chris, Darren, Ulrich and Odd. Chris and Darren had put their paintball masks to block any blood. Chris's mask was painted to resemble a red skull, and Darren's resembled a pale grey jackal. Chris held the chainsaw in his large hand as the blade rotated and purring like a hungry lion. The other boys each held a flare, along with a weapon they had recovered inside the shed. Darren had found a hatchet, Ulrich was using machete, and Odd had received a small folding trench shovel from Chris.
I got a fucking shovel, this is bullshit.
Ulrich, Odd and Terry each were wearing one of Chris's extra bandanas over their mouths to keep blood off their faces. So,
let's go out a path, Chris said.
You'll come back, that's right.
Yeah, whatever you what's your names. They charged forward, swinging their weapons and forming a circle around the two girls. God damn it. Keeping them out of harm's way. Blood splattered everywhere as the team hacked
top and sliced their way through the crowd of zombies. Meeting a screen to cover their eyes, holding onto Hurricane odd certs with their hands.
This is so fucked!
Odd yelled as he split a zombie's head open with his shovel.
Good fucking person!
Darren yelled back.
Jesus, Jeremy said. That kind of thrown like butter.
Nicholas, get the camera. We can post this on YouTube. Well, what's left of it.
Yeah.
He's sitting in Alito on the roof, using the telescope to track the progress of the two teams.
Oh, come on, Warwick. Sissy said under her breath.
Sam ran through the trees. He wasn't sure what had happened. So he got and turned around somewhere and had run away from the school instead of towards it. Whatever that thing was, it was used. Team William had been split up as he had no idea where he was. She slowed her pace and looked around. The woods were dark and it was starting to rain. She took a few steps through the trees and came out onto a path.
Okay, she said to herself. Okay, there's the park bench. So...
She turned left on the path and began jogging back Nathan being over the top. She turned left on the path and began jogging back towards the school. She ran down the path in the darkness. She heard a whistle from the brush up ahead to her left. She paused and drew an arrow. She held her breath and waited for whatever it was to show itself. The brush broke and she gasped.
William!
Let's go, he said.
Yumi let out a fierce cry and decapitated a zombie with a single swipe. Just ahead and to the right of them, she could see Ulrich and the others moving towards them. Thomas split her head open with his axe, and Desmond right-hooked a zombie into the air and kicked it away.
Oh yeah! Up in the pen, baby!
He hooted as one more staggered towards him. He hit it with an uppercut and followed his blow with a double axe handle.
Come on, Yumi said. We're almost there!
Okay, Alita said, looking through the telescope. Both teams have regrouped and are en route to the classrooms.
The bad time!
Sissy said.
Let's go and tell the others, Jeremy said.
Sorry, just interesting facts I found about Sissy. Another character she's voice actress has done.
What?
Jade from Beyond Good and Evil.
Never played that game.
I gotta slap you. Play it. It's awesome.
Let's just get this fanfic out of the way, because now everyone's home.
I know. Three kids left the rooftop and returned to the teacher's lounge. As they neared the door, it burst open and Tina ran into the hallway holding the shotgun and pistol.
What are you doing?
Alita asked.
How'd you get out?
Not the first time Darren's handcuffed me, Tina said. She turned and started to run away, but paused.
That sounded wrong, she said.
As she ran away, the three children dashed in the teacher's lounge and saw it was in a state of disarray. The cocktail room flipped over and snack cakes and wrappers littered the floor, and an archer was laying on his side. Nicholas and Herb were handcuffed together, and Herb was rubbing the back of his head, grimacing in pain.
Ow! I just turned my head away for a second and ow! He exclaimed.
We were just sitting here and then Tina escaped.
Caroline explained, helping Nicholas to his feet.
She caught the geek and then swiped the key.
Locked us together before we knew what was happening, Nicholas grumbled. Took the guns and hauled off.
That's her voice.
Sorry, I'm mixing voices up.
We saw her, Jimmy said. What was she doing?
What else? Alita said. She's going to help her family.
Come on!
Yoke said, twirling his blade and giving his fingers a flex.
We're so close now!
All they needed was a final push. The science building was in sight. Soon they'd be safe and could finally rest.
Yeah, right.
Odd, sorry. I'm losing track of it.
We got this! We got this!
Odd panted.
Up ahead of them, two figures came out from the forest. Sam and William were covered in sweat and panting, their eyes wide in fear.
Sammy, what are you doing? Odd called.
Odd!
She screamed, run! And then everything goes slow-mo.
There was a bellowing roar as something large broke through the tree line behind them. It roared again and swung it around, batting away Sam like a rag doll. She flew through the air and slammed into a column that supported the portico over the entrance to the science building.
Sam!
Odd yelled in slow-mo.
Die, you
Fuck her! William yelled, firing his shotgun at the monster.
In slow-mo.
Turn off the slow-mo.
The bookshot blasted it in the chest and it tore a few layers of skin, but otherwise he didn't seem to bother it. It grabbed the shotgun from William and tossed it away before it slammed a fist into William's chest and knocked him to the ground, into the air, back into the ground.
Ow, 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 ow! That's it! It's that thing from before! Chris shouted.
You could have told us about this earlier, dude, I'm just saying. Come on, Chris, you could have mentioned. Damn it, we're busy! I didn't see you complaining about that. Jesus! What the hell is that thing? Yuri cried.
Tank! I cried.
Holy shit! Yumi said, looking the creature over. Guys, it's Bane! I mean, that thing is Jim!
Whatever poison was turning people into zombies had affected Jim differently. He'd grown in size, but was it nearly as big as a tank from a certain video game series by a certain company that had been trouble counting to three? He'd grown 2 feet taller and now towered over the students, and even Chris. His muscles had swollen far beyond what any athlete ever could ever hope to achieve, even with the use of steroids. His jogging suit, which thankfully was elastic, was clinging to his body for dear life.
Eyes were glowing red like the others, and
his skin seemed to be splitting in some areas, as if his muscles were bursting to get out. He looked over at them and growled.
I wonder what broke first, your bats or your spirits?
Sticking one Batman reference.
Left for Dead reference.
No, what I just said.
No.
Vote. I know. First, your back till your spirit.
Your back is. No, but this bit.
Hang on. We're in a suit, you're a cast Aaron.
The Goliath's growl increased in tone.
Roar! We're in a suit, Chris asked.
Both! Darren yelled as Jim roared and broke into a run.
The group scattered like flies as Jim ran through them, swinging his arms wildly. Odd ran right past them into Sam.
You okay? He asked.
Stop the world, Sam gasped.
She was dazed and had a cut on her forehead, but otherwise she was okay. Come on, we gotta go, Odd said.
Odd pulled the spare pistol Chris had given him and snapped off three shots at a group of sprinters that rushed them. Jim slammed his fist down, intending to bring it down on Yumi's head. She stepped aside as his fist hit the ground, cracking a rock in the stonework into several pieces. Yumi let out a battle cry and brought her blade down Jim's arm, just below his massive elbow. She gasped as the blade bounced off, leaving behind a mark that looked like the wound one might receive from a paper cut. Yumi could see a few chips in the blade of her sword.
Oh, God, Yumi gasped.
Fuck, this is family heirloom. Jim roared and belted her away, sending her rolling to the ground.
Hey, ugly! Darren yelled.
Jim turned and growled.
Roar!
Darren and Chris raised their handguns and they both opened fire, both boys emptying their magazines into the juggernaut. The hail of 45 caliber and 9mm gunfire knocked Jim back a little, and the two waited for the giant to fall. Fall! Fall! Ba-da-da-da. Jim lifted his head back up and looked at them, growling and baring his bloody teeth. In his forehead, the two could see a bullet smash nearly flat on the impact of Jim's skull.
Well, fuck, Chris said.
Run! Yuri called, helping Yumi to her feet.
No one was going to argue. There was nothing in that arsenal that could hurt that monster. Everyone turned their backs and ran towards the science building. Up ahead, Auric saw the doors open and Tina run out.
Chris, she called.
She screamed at the sight of Jim's mutated form. God damn it! Oh, sorry, that's your line.
So, God damn it! Chris swore. Run! For fuck's sake, run!
Everyone ran through the doors. Chris scooped up Tina in his arms and shielded her from any possible harm as Auric and Darren slammed the door shut and shoved their weight into it. A second later, the doors bucked as if a car had hit them. If the doors had been made from anything other than steel, they'd have been destroyed.
There was a roar, followed by a shattering as the shatterproof glass in the window exploded and a massive hand burst through. Kill her, 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 kill her! I cried.
Thomas let out a cry and buried the spike end of his axe into the arm. Tim roared his anger as Chris grabbed the chainsaw and revved it up. He buried the blade into flesh and closed his eyes as he felt hot blood splatter on his clothes. There was a high whining noise as the chain became tangled in flesh and blood and spluttered. Jim roared and pulled his arm out of the window. The door bucked two more times, then ceased.
Everyone stood in place and panted. The door had several inward dents on it and probably couldn't take much more damage. With a trembling hand, Ulrich reached forward and bolted the door's lock. Desmond used his chain to tie the two door handles together.
We need to get the hell out of here, Ulrich said quietly.
No, really? I thought we were going to live there for the rest of whatever is left of our natural lives, which is probably the next 2 hours or so, and then we'll be zombies for the rest of our unnatural lives, until our...
Oh, shut up!
And then everyone just stopped past, starts spit-kicking the shit out of him. You know, I was half suspecting when they said the arm came through the window. I started expecting him to grab someone and drag him out. He's like, help me! Help! Ah! They're like, grab his legs! Wait, guys, remember what happened last time we did?
Oh, shit!
Snap! Oh, crap. Well, again.
That's the second time today! I'm not loyal to anyone else!
I'm still amused by our little cameo we had in this. Just... It's the same number, Lee!
I did joke to James. Hey, James, what chances are characters survive and are hiding in the closet somewhere? And he said, we do realise you're going to have you and Matty record. Lee, I think we should come out of the closet.
Little something to tack on at the end. See you, guys.
See ya.
We didn't know what it was, not at first anyways. Just that it was an alien construct drifting in the asteroid field between Mars and Jupiter. My name is Nicholas Lancer. I was chosen to lead a mission of exploration to learn the secrets hidden within the construct. But I had no idea what we would find, or what would happen to us. And now I would give anything, anything at all, if we could just find the way home.
From Eric Busby, the creator of the Section 31 Files, comes an all-new original science fiction adventure. Far Horizons. Coming soon, only from DarkerProjects.com.